Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 9. And then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. And now the king had sent captains of the army of the horsemen of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. I didn't tell any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place found for the beast that was under me to pass. And then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went and what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. And then said I, verse 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, and how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. And then quickly, just to kind of tie into the thought that I have this morning, if you would look in chapter 4, the latter part of verse 2. Chapter 4, the latter part of verse 2 says, this is the enemies of Israel, Sanballat and Tobiah, saying, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? And then again in chapter 4 and verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. You may be seated this morning. Glory to God. We know that Nehemiah had received that call, the hand of the Lord, he testified, was upon him. Nehemiah had spoken to some that had visited Jerusalem, and they told him of how the walls were broken down and how that they lay in desolation, the trouble and the calamity that was there in his homeland. And when Nehemiah heard that, even though that Nehemiah was the cupbearer of King Artaxerxes, I guess that's how you say that, the king there in Babylon, Nehemiah had it made. I mean, Nehemiah was living in a fine palace. Nehemiah was eating fine food. Nehemiah was drinking the finest of drink. He probably had a very comfortable bed. I mean, he himself was in good shape. But he got to thinking about some other folks that were out there that was in trouble. And he got an untimely burden upon his life. And look here, trust me, I agree with everything that Brother Blue preached to this morning. I love to rejoice. I love to, my congregation wonders why I get so excited and so happy sometimes. They tell me I need to pipe down and calm down some. I love enthusiasm. I love to be lively. I believe that we ought to be moved on by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost moves on us, we ought to move. Amen? And we know that our God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead, okay? I believe in worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and the Father does seek such. But if we could stop long enough to think about how good it feels. I was thinking, standing there in the altar, and I'd feel the wave of the Holy Ghost come through, and just kind of feel like it started at the top of your head. And I've seen some of those sisters rejoicing, and some of those brothers rejoicing, but my mind would keep going back. How about those on the outside of these four walls? How about those that are broken out of the wall? How about those stones that are not lively? Those stones that are not lighting up today? No, they're in trouble. But I tell you, I believe God's wanting somebody to get a hold to the vision. I believe God's wanting to take this message beyond the four walls, and He wants to bring them in, for the hour is approaching of His coming. Hallelujah. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to talk with you just a little while, and I promise I'm going to try to hurry, okay? And usually when I say that, I get long-winded, so I promise I'm going to do my best, because I know it's already time slipping away. But I want to preach to us just a little while this morning. It's not rubbish. It's a wall. It's not rubbish, but it is a wall. You know, it matters how you look at something. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, "For we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I tell you, it matters how you look at a situation. It matters how you look at a person. And that's the point that I want you to get here this morning. If we could just leave with one thought here. It's the point of, it's not rubbish. This world is not wreckage. That sinner hadn't gone too far. But if you're willing to roll your sleeves up, if you're willing to put your shoulder to the gospel plow, I tell you, God will take those broken stones and He can put them back in the wall. They don't have to be rubbish. They can be building blocks for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. I mean, before I get going here, you know, I know how it is to get disappointed by somebody. I know how it is to have the highest confidence and faith in somebody, and it seems like you feel like that they are so mighty and high, and all of a sudden you find out that they're really not who they were. That person cuts the rug out from under you. That person disappoints you and lets you down. Brother Peach, and there's that mentality. I've had it to run across my mind before. You know how it is to have somebody to cut your feet out for money, or somebody to disappoint you. Get that mentality. Well, they got what was coming. They made their bed hard. Let them lay in it. But that's not right. I thought that way before, but it just ain't right. This world will say you made your bed hard, you got to lay in it. Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. I tell you, there's help for somebody that's fallen away. There's help and there's hope for somebody that's in trouble this morning. I tell you, I thank God for what I feel in my heart, but there's a mass multitude of people dying and going to hell. And we are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the tools and the instruments in the hands of the Holy Ghost. And we need to take this power. We need to take this enthusiasm and carry it into the streets, the hedges, and the highways, and tell the world Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I mean, when I first got started, man, I mean, I was all, God, give me the Holy Ghost. God, give me the Holy Ghost. I was preaching, man, I was sweating golf balls, man. Brother Peach, I was all, give me the Holy Ghost. Well, I need the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. And I had one of them old saints that God said, what are you going to do with it when you get it?
I said, yeah, that's a pretty good question. What do I want it for? Man, when I was a young boy, man, I told my dad, man, I want that 12-gauge shotgun. I want that 12-gauge shotgun. I was about 13 years old. Man, I knew what I was going to do with it. I was going rabbit hunting, man. I was going squirrel hunting. When I got that thing, I loved it, man. I mean, but hey, what do you want the Holy Ghost for? God didn't give us the Holy Ghost to kick over a mic stand. I like it when I see a mic stand flying, glory to God. You say that's in the flesh. There ain't no more in the flesh than you sitting there dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. What are you going to do with it, man? I said, I don't really know. I said, what are you talking about? And he showed me, he said, you see that big old tractor over there? He said, that thing's got about 400 horses in it. That's a Cummins diesel. He said, man, you can hook to one of them big trailers and put about 60, 70,000 pounds in it and pop that baby in low gear, man, and hit that Cummins. And this, I mean, that torque will spool up, man, and you can take a big load down the highway. He said, all that power is under that hood so it can pull a big load. He said, but son, you don't need that big 400-horse cat diesel motor if you're just going to pull a little red wagon round and round the yard. Woo! I better move on here, glory to God. Glory to God, amen. But notice, Nehemiah got that burden, and he worked it out with the king Artaxerxes there, and he gave him permission, and he goes down to Jerusalem, and the Bible said he stayed there for 3 days, and then seemingly on that third night, I wondered why Nehemiah waited 3 nights. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to go under the radar of Sanballat and Tobiah. Maybe he thought, maybe he didn't want the enemy to see him. I don't know why he waited 3 nights. But I know on that third night, I believe Nehemiah was laying there and God began to stir him up. He began to feel an unction and a moving of God's hand. He said, for the hand of the Lord is good upon me. I mean, I felt the hand of the Holy Ghost when I was lost. And it was on me and he let me know I was evil. He let me know I was in trouble. I was a sinner. But since I've been saved, I felt that same hand of God lay upon me, but it's good upon me. Hallelujah. God, wake up some saints in the middle of the night and give them a burden and a zeal for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Nehemiah, he got out of that bed, kicked the covers off, and he got that torch and he went out investigating that wall. And I read to you how he would go from gate to gate, wall to wall, and there was rubble and there was destruction, pieces of stone, burnt gates, twisted metal. And he's seen the desperation, the destruction. Now, you know, those men that were with him, they didn't see what Nehemiah saw. I said, Sanballat and Tobiah, they didn't see what Nehemiah saw. They said it's rubbish. They said it's wreckage. They said it's garbage. They said it's... But Nehemiah, when he saw that old broken chunk of concrete or that broken stone out of that wall, he said, man, that'll go back in the wall right there if somebody's willing to reach down and pick it up. Hey, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't write that child off. Don't write that person off. They'll fit back in the wall if God would just be merciful enough to save them before it's too late. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you got to see that. I tell you, Brother Blue was talking about how that, man, when we became that spiritual rock, it would give us knowledge and learning, and we could see things that we didn't normally see. I mean, when you in the grocery store and that guy standing at the end of that counter and all he does is mash the bread in the grocery bag. and he's got that purple and pink hair and earrings in his ear. And, I mean, if all you see is somebody that just hurts you and gets under your skin and burns your cookies, and you wish he would get out of there and get another job and you never see him again, you're not seeing like Jesus sees. You're not seeing like Nehemiah sees. Hey, he's not wreckage. I tell you what he is. He's a building block in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say you always feel like... No, I don't always feel like that. There's times that people, they get under my skin, man. I'm telling, I pulled up at the gas station the other night and had my family in the car, man. Them teenagers come squealing around there. Had that a boopity boopity boop music going on. Guys jumped out, no shirts on. Beers in their hands, screaming and hollering and carrying on. Man, I tell you, first inclination, I felt a little bit of the old man rise up. Made me want to reach for old Smith and Wesson in there. You know what I mean? But you know what? That ain't right. That ain't right. I said, yeah, they got on us. Got on the nerves. Yeah, I mean, they frustrate you. That's right. But we've got to look through the eyes of Christ. They're not wreckage. They're not garbage. I tell you, they've been made in the image of Christ. Just like we were, the only difference in between them and us is the Apostle Paul said, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. Woo! Thank God for the soap of salvation. Thank God for the soap of the sanctification. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah! I said they're not wreckage. That's building blocks. That's material. If you get a vision and get the eye of Nehemiah, I tell you, God can use them for His glory. Hallelujah! Praise God! I'm hurrying. Hallelujah! You got to see it. You got to be able to see potential in people. Well, I evangelized for about 12 years, man. I'd go in and shoot both guns glowing hot, man, right off in the sunset. Now that I've been pastoring for 2 years, I think I learned more in 2 years than I've learned in my lifetime. Man, I tell you, people's got some real problems. I mean, real problems. And when you're pastoring, you can't just ride off and leave them, man. You got to get down in the trenches with them. Amen. Try to help them work it out, man. Praise God. But you got to see the potential in them. There have been times that I had folks in the church, and I just thinking in my mind, I just think, man, you know, we'd probably be better off if they found them another church. But that ain't right, Brother Randy. That ain't right. I don't want you to think I'm some mean person that tries to call them out. Look here, I love everybody. And I mean, look here, what I'm saying is sometimes those thoughts will run through our mind. But hey, we got to realize we are the only answer to life's problems. Not that, hey, Christ is using us. Hey, what are we going to do? I mean, hey, if we don't feed them, the United Way might. We don't call them. Maybe the Red Cross will. If you don't carry them, the Gospel Jehovah's Witness will. If you don't tell them about something, the Mormons will get there. But I say you and I are the only thing standing between lost and dying men from going to hell. And if we just cut them off before they ever get an opportunity, their blood might be on our hands. Amen. Nehemiah, he saw something that nobody else saw. I mean, that torch that was burning in his hand. I mean, to those other guys, they said, man, this is something here. I mean, this is just, but man, Nehemiah was looking, man, there's some good building material right there. That'll go back in the wall. Come on here now. Glory to God. Man, I tell you, when me and my wife bought the little piece of land that we built the house on, I walked through that thing. Of course, I mean, I'm an equipment operator, and We do some construction work, and it's kind of like an artist. You got to be able to see the picture before you start painting it in your mind's eye. And I walked through that place, and briars and vines and bushes and big trees, and just, I mean, it was a wreck. It was a mess. But as I walked through there, brother, I keep coming across one of them pretty little oak trees about 6 inches in diameter. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I know what's going to happen to that one. I walked through there and see some other, and there's old twisted tree. Well, what I did, man, I began to creep through there with that Cat 220 tri-hole with that thumb on there. Man, I've been pulling them old gums out. But if you go by my house now, there's nothing but grass and about 25 of those pretty oak trees sitting there. You gotta see it. Hey, God, give us some men and women that'll see that old drunk not out there as a nuisance, but see him as a deacon in the church. See him as a building block in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nehemiah, he saw not rubble, but he saw a wall. What do you see? Hallelujah. What are you looking at? Amen. What are you focusing on? You got to be focused on Jesus Christ. And that cross. You can see a whole lot, but you can only be focused at one thing at a time. Did you know that? You know, you take your right hand, just raise that, point your finger up here in front of me. Just hold that finger. Take your finger and hold it up between me and you. Okay, kind of line me up like the sights on a gun. And you focus on me, and you can see me clearly. And even though you can see that finger, your fingernail's blurred. You see it, but it's blurred. But now you focus on your fingernail, and you can still see me in the background, but I'm blurred. You can see a whole lot going on, but you're only focused on one thing. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I wish somebody would look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and get their eyes off everybody else and see Him and Him glorified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah, he didn't see rubble, but he saw a wall. I mean, he had a vision. He got a hold to something nobody else got a hold to. He seen the possibility. He's seen the possibilities. My wife and I got married quite a few years ago. It don't seem like that long, but we got married and we didn't have a whole lot of money. And we bought a little old house, 20 by 40. Old wooden German cider house, about a 50-something model. Man, that thing was in bad shape. Wooden floors, wooden. I had wood everywhere. I think we paid $12,000 for the house, land, and all. That ought to tell you something. Had to park a little old travel trailer outside, man, to fix the bathroom. That's the first room we fixed. We fixed the bathroom, and then we fixed another room and another room. Glory to God. Amen. But we're living on love anyhow. Praise God. Still living on love. That's another message for another day there. Amen. Hallelujah. But the wife and I moved in that little house. Of course, not having much money, we didn't get to choose our neighborhood. And then right over behind us, a little ways over behind us, was a house that looked worse than that house. And then after we moved in, I noticed one of the weekends, man, they cranked it up back there. I heard men hollering and musing, carrying on and gunshots. Man, I was like, good gracious, where have we wound up? I got out of my bed, Brother Pete, 4 o'clock in the morning, went back there, and I said, fellas, what in the world's going on? I got to be on a construction site in the morning. Man, they was out there kicking shooting a 223 at 4 o'clock in the morning. Great goodness. They said, well, we just having a little fun. I mean, that's the kind of fellows they were. They were tough, man. I called him, nicknamed him Moped Mania. He drove a moped everywhere. He didn't have a driver's license. He told me one day, he said, man, I want to check this thing out. He said, I want you to ride up beside me and see how fast it'll run. He said, I just did some tinkering on the carburetor. Man, he got that thing out on the highway, pulled him. goggles down over his eyes, had that band down, that thing flying. I got up beside him on the window, and he said, "How's she doing?" I said, "You're about 36. And he said, "Oh, he said, "How's she doing now?" I said, "You're about 37. I called him Moped Mania. That's what we nicknamed him. And the Lord got to dealing with me, and I put that dealing off. I was thinking, man, this ain't no church material here. I'm just being honest now. Every time I ever saw him, it was in a pair of camouflage pants. Every time I saw him, it was an old green T-shirt, holes all in it. Hair way down his back. I don't know if he washed. He didn't wash very often if he did. I mean, and I was thinking, this isn't really church material here. But you know, the Lord, he got to putting his hand, his good hand on me and laying that on me. And I told that old boy one Sunday, I felt the Holy Ghost impress me. And I told him, I said, "Why don't you go to church with me this Sunday?" He said, "I think I might do it." And that thing went through my mind. I said, "He won't be here. He won't go." About 9:45, we live pretty close to the church. About time for us to leave. I look, and he's walking around the house, walking around to the front yard. I'm thinking, man, oh, he has really showed up. He walked around in the front yard of the house, man. I was peeping through the blinds, and he looked this way, and he looked that way, and he just relieved himself right in the flower bed in my front yard. I told the wife, I said, "Baby, don't go out the door yet. It's not safe." Got in the truck with us, or the car, drove the wife's car. Man, I'm telling you, it was a rough go to the church. But he came in there, and he heard the gospel about Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whatever happened to that old boy. He didn't make a confession that morning. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. It was only about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after that. Old boy was working on a scaffold. And he fell dead with a stroke. You say, "Were you trying to pin?" No, I'm not pinning no roses on my shoulder. I'm saying, I think I might have waited a little too long. I might have viewed that as just rubble, and I didn't see him as somebody God could use in the kingdom. Yeah, I obeyed the Lord by taking me, but I might not have obeyed in time. Let me tell you something. That child is out of the fold. The clock is ticking. That neighbor is lost and undone. The clock's ticking. Hey, you say they're rubble, but God can turn them around and make them a saint of God in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Nehemiah, he told those folks, he says, he told them, he said, "Come now. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Now's the time." He said, "Come on, we got to build here. I mean, we got to work to do. Those stones aren't going to get back in the wall by themselves. God help us with the people that say, well, if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved." Nonsense. God called you to be the witnesses for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. God didn't call angels. He called you and me. Why didn't God call angels? Because angels don't know what it's like to be hung on drugs. Angels don't know what it's like to be a drug addict, a drunkard. But I'm talking with a house full of people. Men and women, you were hung. You were addicted. You were bound. And you were chained. Oh, the night you walked the aisle. I said the grace of God brought salvation. Hallelujah. You washed away all your sin. And now, I tell you, you can step past an angel and say, "Hey, let me tell you, I was bound. I was an addict. I was addicted. But let me tell you about the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you about the grace of God. And see him as building material." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want somebody to come to the piano. Maybe my wife or Jennifer or somebody. I'm not going to hold you. Just a few more minutes. I don't want to wear you out. Amen. Hallelujah. December the 7th, 1941. How many of you remember that? Pearl Harbor, the bombing. They tell me 359 Japanese planes attacked Pearl Harbor, I believe on that Sunday morning. 18 ships sunk, 170 planes destroyed, 3,500 men lay either bleeding or dead. Destruction came. But you know, I began to read in a little bit of history. Immediately following that, Brother Randy, they didn't crawl in a hole and quit. But they set down divers, and they began to working on those ships. That twisted metal and those holes blown in those ships, they began patching the holes. What if they had just viewed that harbor as a bunch of wreckage and it's hopeless and useless? Not so. But the cutting torches and the welders and all of the people began to come together, and around the clock, day and night, they began to rebuild that was destroyed. Have you ever noticed in Nehemiah chapter 3, 35 times Nehemiah said, "We rebuilt. We rebuilt." Hey, how can you rebuild? You got to have something broke before you can use it to rebuild. I said they rebuilt. Thank God he rebuilt me time and time again in my life. Praise God. Glory to God. I heard a preacher's wife say one time, "I don't care if they die and go to hell." That's not the mind of Nehemiah. That's not the mind of Christ. And even though we enjoy the Spirit of God, and we are those lively stones, and I thank God for that. Don't you thank God for the Holy Ghost? But did you know God's more interested, more concerned about folks than just what's in this building? I'm not talking about... Let me say this right here before she begins to play. She might have to start playing real quick after I say this. There's enough building debris scattered through our societies. I said there's enough twisted homes and broken marriages. There's enough twisted children and broken hearts and wounded people in this world. There's plenty of building material without you having to pull the stones out of another preacher's wall to build your own wall. But you see, it's a lot easier to find a man and woman that already believes in holiness and already knows the do's and don'ts and knows how to get a hold to God, and it's easier to just kind of bring them in. You got instant help than it is that girl that's a prostitute or that boy that's a crack cocaine addict. And you got to get off the golf course. You got to get off the fishing hole. And you got to go to work and build the wall. Well, praise God. Amen. I'm getting dangerous here now. Praise God. There's plenty of building material out there for a man to pray and get anointed. I tell you, when I came to the little church that I pastored, Brother Bill, I didn't stay there very long. I said, "Man, I'm going to get out here in the community and see what's going on." I got out on my feet and I started walking and I started knocking doors. And man, I tell you, old boy come to the door probably about a quarter of a mile from the church. He came to the door. I went up on the mobile home door and I beat like that, and I walked back off of the door, so I like to give him a little bit of room, you know. And directly, he come out the door. "What you want?" Big old Budweiser in his hand. I said, "I didn't want anything. I just said I wanted to come by and let you know I'm the new pastor in town. I'd like for you to come to church sometime." He said, "Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I said, "No, you hold a beer." I said, "That don't bother me. I mean, you know,
I'm at your house. I said, but we would like you to come to church. I said, because Jesus loves you, and we believe there's a heaven and hell, and I'd like to see you go to heaven and not hell. I said, and we'd love to have you there, and we'll treat you good. And the old boy, big old tears started rolling down his face, and I noticed that can started trembling just a little bit. He said, preacher, he said, I'm 53 years old, and I've lived in the same house. This was my mom and dad's little trailer. He said, I've lived here 53 years. And he said, nobody's ever knocked on my door and invited me to church. And then we get around the table and get to sipping our coffee and say, man, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. What's wrong with it? I tell you what's wrong with it. We don't have the vision that Nehemiah had. We don't have the burden that Nehemiah had. Nehemiah said, I'm not looking at wreckage here. I see building material. I tell you, Brother Albert and Brother Ernie right there, good folks, man. But their pastor, man, I mean, years ago, I mean, he was at the bar rooms and the gambling halls. He was a drunk man running the streets. I remember the night he told about that night that they had the killing in the bar. Man, I tell you, make the hair stand up on the back of my... But I mean, he was deep in sin, and most folks saw him as wreckage and rubble. But he had a praying Holy Ghost-filled mama that didn't see him as wreckage. She saw him as building block. And she prayed until God saved the old boy. And now he's preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not wreckage. I said that daughter, that son is not hopeless. They're not wreckage. And may I tell you what they are? It's somebody that just needs the almighty hand of God to touch them with the power of the Holy Ghost and conviction and bring them to an altar of repentance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. But that Pearl Harbor, it was just a few months later, they refurbished those ships, and what Japan thought, the enemy thought, is that they had eliminated them. But what they didn't realize is out of that watery grave of Pearl Harbor, they rebuilt that Navy. Those ships weren't sitting on the bottom anymore. They brought them back up on the surface. Hallelujah. New engines was in them planes. I mean, hey, look here. And when our fate, the fate of our nation hung in the balance as midday would turn the tide in World War II, ladies and gentlemen, did you know many of the ships from Pearl Harbor fought in midday in the Battle of Midway and won the victory? It's not over till it's over. Hey, the devil might be chunked you out, but God will put you back in. You're not wreckage. You're building material for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. All I'm trying to get you to see is I thank God for a move of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for this lively stone. I thank God for the working. But God has empowered us to make a difference out there. Hallelujah. Good preacher friend of mine back home said he was visiting the neighborhood, and I'm closing with this, said he was visiting the neighborhood where he was pastoring that little church. And said he went by a house, and he said he knocked on the screen door. And he said, then I heard a voice on the inside say, come in. And said he opened that little screen door and walked in. See, he could smell that marijuana smoke in there. Said there's a big old heavy guy sitting in the recliner. TV blaring, him sitting there with no shirt on, big old beard all over his face, long hair. He said his wife was laying over on the couch, high. Said she was spaced out, little children going through the house with not hardly any clothes on. And he said, I came to tell you about Jesus and ask you to go to church. And he said the guy mumbled on and carried on, said He told me, he said, I'll be truthful with you. He said, all that thick smoke in there, he said, I got out of there. He said, I was talking with one of the local police
policeman of that little town and said, he told me, said, I was asking him about the man that lived on that street, and he said, the policeman told him, said, don't go back to that house. He said, not only are they using drugs, but so there's some traffic going on there. And my preacher friend said, that's all I needed to hear. But then when he got back home, that hand of God began to press on me. And he said, I made up my mind that I was going to go to fasting and praying. Brother Junior said when he got back to that house, he said he knocked on that door and that same voice said, come in. He said, I'm not coming in, but if you'll let me. He said, I want to preach to you on this porch. And he said, that man said, help yourself. And he said he began to preach on that hot July evening and on that porch. And he said, I began to sweat and said, God, the Holy Ghost began to anoint me. He said, I preached to, said there was water. I could feel the water in my shoes. But he said, when I began to preach Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost touched me. He said, that big man, he said, I looked down that hall and said, that big man rolled out of that recliner chair and said he was on all fours and said he was crawling down that hallway coming to the porch and said he was shaking his head and he's saying, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Hey, let me tell you, I mean, this man, they told him, don't go back, but he didn't see rubbish. He didn't see hopelessness. He saw building material and he went back and worked on the wall. Hallelujah. He said, that man said, preacher, what? And he said, that was a Saturday. And so I told him, I said, you need to be at church in the morning. And he said, that next morning, Brother Peach, he said, that man, his daughter, and all three children filed into that church. Didn't know nothing about Jesus. He said, she lit up a cigarette in the church. He said, the deacon said it far. He said, ho, I'll handle this right here. There's a difference in not knowing. And it's more important to get that cigarette or to get her to the altar than it is to get that cigarette out of her mouth if she don't know no better. And you might disagree with me. I feel the same way. Somebody knows better, they come in and light up, they're going to have problems. But if they don't know, that's different. Now, I'm preaching in Costa Rica. I was giving the altar call. I said, come to Jesus, come to. And that man, that interpreter said, no, brother, don't do that. I said, what? He said, you call them this way. He said, you don't do that. I said, brother, what? He said, that's vulgar, that's bad. I said, come to Jesus. If you don't know, you don't know. But they came into that church, and he said, he finally got that cigarette out of her mouth. He said he preached Jesus Christ. And he said that man and his wife and all of those children filed out of there and came and knelt. I'm talking about people that we feel like is wreckage and rubble. But somebody, I said, that pastor man got a vision like Nehemiah. He got a vision like Christ. He didn't see that old boy just hopeless. He saw him exactly like what happened. He saw him on the altar. And he said that family got on the altar and they cried and prayed their way through to salvation. He said he come back that night clean shaven, prayed through to sanctification, the Holy Ghost. And he's preaching the gospel. Hey, what do you see? Did you see wreckage or do you see building material? We've swapped church members long enough. They gossip at somebody else's church, they'll gossip at yours when they get there. They brought division over there, they'll bring division at your church. Won't you go out there and get a drug addict saved? Cody, you better play, Jen. I'm getting in trouble here now. Glory to God. Man, I mean, that Apostle Peter messed up bad, cursed and swore. You know, if we had a preacher friend and we heard him curse and swear, you know probably what we'd say? I won't ever listen to him preach again. Well, you wouldn't have listened to the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls got saved. Now, I won't turn that thing around. I'm not talking about going out there practicing Christ. I don't believe that. I believe you got to live right. You got to spit white. I mean, you got to do right. I'm not advocating sin in here. He that sinneth is of the devil. I'm just saying, people do make mistakes. People do mess up on God. And when they do, we don't have to say you were right. I mean, you got to call a spade a spade. But when they mess up on God, we don't have to ostracize them. We don't have to chop them off. We don't have to say, I'm done with you. I wouldn't give you air if you was in a bottle. That ain't right. I said, you got to view him as a building block that's been torn out of the wall. And somebody's got to pick him up and put him back in the wall. I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. I thank God for Brother Blue's message. That thing ministered to me. I feel like God's speaking to somebody in a different facet right here, right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. They're not rubbish. They're building blocks. They're materials that with the tender hand of God, in your tender hands, they can come back in the kingdom of God and be profitable for Him. But God needs you. God needs you as that instrument to lead them and guide them. God's a God of second chances. We ought to be too. You know, Jesus told the Apostle Peter. Peter said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? And Jesus said, he said, 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. If my math's right, I believe that's about 490 times. You know, if Jesus asked me to forgive my brother 490 times, don't you think God would forgive him 490 times? Do you think Jesus would ask the Apostle Peter to do something that he wouldn't do? They're not rubbish. Yeah, they did you wrong. But they're not rubbish. They're building blocks. God's not through with them yet. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. When Nehemiah got through, all of that rubbish was back in the wall. It was beautiful. It was strong. And it was the will of God. I tell you, Jesus said that he willed that none perish. God, help us to get that vision that person that failed God most miserably, God's married to the backslider. And we need to pray that we get a vision. We need to pray that we get the mind of God to tell him one more time, hey, brother, hey, God's a forgiving God, and there's room for you back in the kingdom. Hallelujah. You feel like you need to pray this morning. I want you to slip up from where you're at. If you feel like God, I know this doesn't relate to a lot of folks, but I feel like somebody needed to hear what I said this morning. Don't give up on that person. You need to let God work through you and help them back to the kingdom.